Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 279, recorded on November 28th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by Yamaha, and I'll be talking about their AG series of USB mixers later on in the show. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and wow. Okay, now I'm doing good. I'm
just listening to my voice. Okay. Until 2 seconds.
Until 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back with you. I'm fine. We're all fine here.
Yay.
How are you?
Air is a little dry in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're the temperature's going up again. So we're up, I think, to about 19 now.
Wow.
Yeah. It got cold here.
It got really cold here too. It was like 50.
50. Oh my God.
How do you survive?
It's really tough. We like go to Starbucks and we huddle around lattes.
Yeah.
And yeah, say, this isn't what California was supposed to be.
Now, here's a question for you guys. And I know I haven't been introduced yet, so maybe I should wait.
Adam Christensen is here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam. Hey, you Adam. Can talk.
So here's my question. So, you know, do you guys, I think there's a group of people that either like or do not like the smell, because my heater started kicking on because the Nest, you know, it got low enough
that
the Nest is like, oh, it's too cold. And last year at this time, you had the heater on. You know that smell, like when you first,
the bugs that are all being destroyed.
The dusty stuff that's collected in the furnace. Yeah,
I do not like that smell, but I know people who like that smell and it always weirds me out.
I think people who like that smell are in the minority.
Do you?
Yeah.
My guess is the people that do like that smell like it because they associate it with some fond memory of not freezing to death.
Yeah, probably.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I always feel like when that happens too, it's like, maybe I should have had my ducts cleaned this year. That's a thing you're supposed to do,
ducts?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, ducts.
You always want to get your ducts clean, though.
Yeah.
I think you want to use Dawn for that.
Yeah. Yes, you should get your heating and cooling ducts cleaned on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. I mean, and especially like if it's a brand new house, you want to do it right away because your ducts are filled with all the junk that the construction workers just dumped down in there.
Delicious chemicals. So, Adam, you got a new toy.
Oh, are you talking about my keyboard finally showed up?
Yeah, you got that, right?
Yeah. I really like it.
How is it?
So far, I haven't used it that much. I mean, it came in yesterday, and I'd been dealing with some family stuff, obviously, with the holiday and what have you. So I haven't had a ton of time to spend on it. But I maybe spent about an hour or so just going through emails, and it was great.
Oh, okay. So you didn't just open a Word doc and start typing, this is a test, this is a keyboard.
Adam. I did that first. But I had kind of already done that in the Apple Store a few
Fair
times.
Enough, yeah.
So I figured that test was done. No, I wanted to kind of put it through its paces. And, you know, it's really nice. And then my wife even tried it out and she's like, oh, I think I like this, actually. She liked the texture. So the keyboard itself, I guess it's supposed to be fabric, right? Whatever that fabric is that they put over it. But it almost feels like hard plastic.
It feels like plastic, not like fabric. And just so you know, by chance, when I went into the Apple Store yesterday to see if they had any pencils, they had one smart keyboard cover. So I'm like, all right, mine now.
Yeah, I tweeted out, and a bunch of people said yesterday that they had them in stores. So I think yesterday was the arrival of the stocks of keyboards. Because I had ordered mine, you know, first thing. So I think this is sort of the first big wave. I think maybe if you had trickled out, but maybe only to reviewers. I don't know what was out in the world before this. But
yeah, reviewers, and there were some companies that work with the business liaison Apple stores. Yeah, business services. Some went out through those channels early too, but okay. I think that was it.
Yeah, but I definitely, I think for me, it sealed the verdict almost immediately that I'm going to sell my Logitech One because I just don't need all the features that the Logitech has. I think the Logitech is a better keyboard probably in terms of if you're a touch typist and somebody who really is nitpicky about their keyboards, it's probably the best keyboard on the market right now for the iPad Pro. But because of its bulk and things, it's too hard. Two things for me. It's too hard to get it in and out of the case, which is just a pain. And then two is it just adds too much bulk, more bulk than I want on the iPad Pro. Because I'm already struggling, and I think we talked about this last time, with the size.
Yeah. Did you get a handbag yet?
No, because I'll never carry it like that. I carry it like a folio or like a little portfolio or what have you around. And I've always carried my iPads like that, just with like Apple's smart cover.
Ooh, you know, you could
cover. What they call it, a smart cover, just the regular cover.
Smart cover, yes.
Smart cover. Okay, yeah. I'm getting the name right. Yeah, I've always just carried my iPads like that. That's the only case I have ever had on my iPads, and that's how I like to carry them around. Which is why another reason why I think the Logitech for me, it just made it way too bulky.
Yeah.
And then the other complaint that a lot of people have about the keyboard that I kind of get. Is the whole origami, it's kind of a little bit trickier to fold up than, just having a straight smart cover.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I spent it has a little pamphlet that comes with it and it shows you all the ways to fold it. If you spend, if you open that up, pull it out of, slide it out of its little case and actually just read through it for about 5 minutes, you can figure it out.
So do you get both orientations? Do you get more than one orientation you can see
your
iPad?
Yeah. You get the keyboard orientation and then you get the stand orientation.
Ah, cool.
Now, the only thing that I'm bummed about is it doesn't kind of have, not that it was ever really good, but it'd be nice if it had an easel kind of configuration where you could use it with the smart pencil, sort of in that triangular form like you did with the on-screen keyboard with the smart cover. It'd be cool if it could use it like that. You can't. There's no orientation like that.
Have you ever considered for carrying it around, you could go, how Target has those plastic straps that have sticky at both ends and then they put that around a giant thing of toilet paper?
Yep.
Yeah, you could maybe just go there and ask for one of those. And then just put that on your iPad.
Somebody had a case that was like that they gave me. It was like a hard shell you could snap your iPad into. And then they had all these accessories that could clip on. So you could have a handle or you could have a, one of those
selfie stick
webbing tablet things where you can hold it in one hand, when you slide your hand through the back.
Ooh, yeah.
And it also had a strap where you would carry it around like a purse.
I want to see a selfie stick for the thing.
Oh God!
It's gonna need to be you might need to put it on. It might need to be like a vest, like if you had a Steadicam.
You'd have to have like a chest harness, with a pole coming out, and then one for each knee. So it was like a tripod.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right.
I like otherwise, that.
Yeah, it's just not gonna work.
I can see that happening. Yeah,
I did end up taking a picture with it yesterday because I didn't have anything with me other than my iPad Pro to tweet out that I had the smart keyboard.
Does it have a camera on the back?
It used the a very nice camera.
That's fun. Okay. So let's talk about, before we move on, let's talk about our sponsor this week, which is Yamaha and their AG series of personal USB audio mixers. The AG is a multi-purpose high-resolution mixer and USB audio interface designed to elevate the creative audio experience for webcasters, podcasters, gamers, mobile musicians, music producers, and more. The AG03 and AG06 both enable content producers to mix USB audio from the computer as its own channel and eliminate the need to master and monitor complicated software. The AG03 is a three-channel mixer USB audio interface, perfect for small and portable setups. And the AG06 is the 6-channel version, great for musicians and pro podcasting. And actually, as it turns out, I'm using that right now. That is how you're hearing my voice, which is pretty cool. And it's actually eliminated. My previous setup was two boxes and a mixer, a FireWire interface, which was a whole mess of wires, and a power brick for one part of it. I think it was the mixer. And then my microphone and headphones, of course. So this deal now just brings it down to one box that doesn't have a power brick. It gets enough power from my computer and actually enough to even give me phantom power for my mic. So it's nice. And it has this little loopback thing. So the AG comes equipped with a headset input as well as an input featuring phantom power, like I said, giving you the option to use a conventional computer headset or a professional condenser mic, so you can kind of graduate to bigger and better things as you use this. Both mixers feature a 2PC function on the front panel that lets you select which input gets routed to a desktop or iOS device, making it easy to create great sounding podcasts and other internet content. They both feature pro quality audio effects, compression, iOS compatibility, and a rugged metal chassis. USB power allows you to operate your AG without an external power source, keeping your required space to a minimum. The AG can be driven by a mobile battery for use on the go, which is very cool. So it has an extra little USB input on the back for that. They're compatible with iOS devices via the Lightning to USB camera adapter, which I need to pick up and check out. And they have a 3.5mm aux line that lets you connect and listen to mobile devices, tablets, and more. If you're a podcaster, this is cool. The loopback function consolidates all input channels and playback tracks and routes the mix to your internet streaming software for easy recording and live streaming, which means no complicated routing software or crazy hardware setups like I had before. So I'm looking forward to traveling with this thing. It seems like it'd be really nice. So, and most importantly, AG has high quality audio, 192 kilohertz, 24-bit sound. It can reproduce even the most subtle nuances of your original recordings. It's ideal for capturing the purest reproduction of your analog recordings when archiving any of your treasured collections. So both of the mixers, the AG03 and the AG06, are available from Yamaha.com. Check them out. And we thank them for their support and support for sponsoring and support for the audio of this episode, which is pretty cool. T-Mobile, they're unwrapping gifts for us.
That's so nice of them.
It is. 3 months of, three different things they're saying. I guess one of them was some sort of Sprint deal. But more interestingly is they've said, for all Simple Choice T-Mobile customers, which is, I think that's the post-pay, they get 3 months of unlimited 4G LTE data for 3 months. Starting in a few days, December through March. And you'll just, I believe that to get it, you have to enable their Binge On thingy. I think that's enabled by default.
Why would you not enable that?
Right. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I guess if you're peeved about the video quality.
Oh, because they downsample it.
Yeah. It's like 480p, but
yeah. You know, okay. That makes sense. But
does that go for tablets as well?
Yes. But
yeah,
you can turn it off.
That would be so great on your like iPad Pro.
Yeah, the iPad Pro would look
totally
really
fine
junky
on your phone. I mean, if you're going to be streaming to your phone, what do you care?
Yeah, but if you're someone who has a 3G iPad Pro and you really want to stream some video to it, then you're probably made of money and it doesn't matter.
Oh.
So you probably have the unlimited data already if you're trying to do that kind of stuff. For everybody else, yeah, there's the Binge On. I can't really figure out Enable. Binge On?
I mean, that's one of the big features of, and I know you can do higher quality, right? But a lot of people love Plex because it gives them that ability to on the fly downsample content for smaller devices, right?
Yeah.
That you're not using all that bandwidth. So yeah. I know a lot of people that's why they love to use Plex, because they're like, oh, I can stream anything from my entire library and it'll downsample, you know, appropriately for my phone, so that I'm not eating up all my data on my data plan.
Yeah, and I wonder how BingeOn would play with that sort of thing. I wonder if it's like a mandatory.
Well, that doesn't count, because BingeOn is just for certain endpoints, right? So it's
right.
Like,
yeah,
Netflix,
specific
Hulu, Showtime,
like,
HBO. I don't know what's included. Yes. I'm just making them up, but it's specific services. You have
yes.
to check with T-Mobile
yeah.
which ones they're supporting. Right, so it doesn't count for like everything. Like, does it? I don't even know if like the individual channels like NBC or PBS, or I don't know if those are supported or not.
I don't recall, but
I don't think so. It's
many.
It's just specific services.
Yep. Speaking of which, it seems like Amazon has decided that they're going to make an app for the Apple TV.
That's what it
Yay.
Sounds like, but Amazon hasn't really confirmed it. They've strongly inferred it in a support email.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, basically a support email. Yeah, so
yeah, how much do we trust support people?
Yeah, in a lot of cases those people don't know and they're just making stuff
right.
up.
Right.
But let's see. Yeah, so...
You know how many things I've been told by Apple support people that are just so not true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
And they say it with such certainty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course we do, sir. I wonder if they're just told to...
No, I think they just make stuff up.
To make shit up. But yeah, so some guy emailed them... Dan, I have interacted with our technical team and have been informed that they are currently working in developing a new app for the Apple TV. As we have already succeeded in developing an app for iPhone and iPad, we hope to make an app separately for the Apple TV. Hopefully within a few weeks span, you'll be able to see the Amazon Instant Video app feature on your Apple TV. So
here's the thing, right? As much as Amazon doesn't want to do it, I think given the recent success of the Apple TV versus the other streaming boxes
the
that are out
Square
there,
Box.
They kind of are going to get to a point where they can't ignore it.
Yes, I agree. And they would be smart to embrace Apple TV sooner as opposed to later, I think.
Yeah. And it all comes back to, I mean, they're producing their own content, which means they want to sell more Amazon Prime subscriptions. And if they're going to piss off every Prime customer that chooses to buy an Apple TV, then that's going to ultimately hurt their business
and piss off content people who are part of the shows that they're making.
The shows that Amazon, like the exclusive Amazon shows,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was going to, like, the one complaint I have about every streaming content provider is like they all have the same ultimate content with very little non overlap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have Amazon and I have, you know, Netflix, and pretty much most shows are on both, you know, most content is on both and they get it at the same time. It's like the deals are all done at the same time, other than the exclusive content that's produced just for that channel or, you know, a few titles here and there. So every once in a while I find something on Amazon that I can't find on Netflix and vice versa, but that's very rare.
It is rare. The one that stands out to me right now is Orphan Black. Not on Netflix, but on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if do you know when Apple's going to open up the Siri search stuff to third parties?
They have not said. Those are two things that should be their priority. That and also getting support for content that you have in your iTunes library.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's never happening.
No, that has to happen.
It has
to? That has to happen. You do, I guarantee you that's happening.
Yeah? Well, I guarantee you that the remote app is still happening.
Yeah. That's not happening.
Oh, the remote app isn't happening?
No.
No, don't make me cry.
I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead and get the tears out now so that you can start healing and move on.
No, there's still hope. Yeah, so hopefully they get Amazon in there for the Siri search and all that stuff, because at this point, I really almost never even check Amazon to see if they have something, because I assume they don't have it. And yeah. I just well, like if it doesn't, if Netflix or Hulu doesn't have it, then I just like buy it.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah, it is. That is the thing.
I mean, more and more, I'm just buying stuff anyway.
Well, I don't
Apple's
buy it.
Making it so affordable. What did I just? I just bought because I had wanted to see Taken.
Which mm-hmm. one? Taken 1, 2, or 3?
Just the first one, because I had heard they were decent, yeah. And I think this week it was $4.99 on iTunes to buy it.
To buy it.
To buy it. So I was like, okay. The rental's $4.99, the buying's $4.99. I'll just buy it. And it had been on streaming, but I think it got taken off before I, no pun intended. It was removed before I could watch it. Because I think I had it in my Netflix queue at one point. But Netflix just is in the, content comes and goes all the time, too. So a lot of it's timing. But, I mean, at $4.99, it's like, whatever. I'll just.
Yeah, at $4.99, that's cheaper than renting. Really?
Yeah.
I turn off the HD on my Apple TV.
And then they do the bundle deals. Like, did you guys get in on the, it might still be going on. Did you guys get in on the Godfather bundle?
Nope.
No, I didn't.
All 3 movies for $10.
Oh, man. Even if you only went the first movie, it's still worth it just to buy all 3.
Yeah.
I still have not seen that movie.
Well, now any of the, any all of 3 those. Of them for $10. I've heard third one's not that great.
Aren't they like, but, isn't it all like 10 hours or whatever?
They're yeah, long these ass are the Coppola like remasters or whatever too, I think.
Yeah, it's just, nobody has time for that. I don't have time.
Adam does.
I haven't watched them yet, but I'm like, at $10, I'm gonna own them, and I'll have them when I do decide to watch them. I mean,
yeah, in 3 years
like
time.
$3 a movie, you know, three and change a movie, $3.33.
$3.34,
however you want to call it.
Yeah, so Square has finally launched their little squares.
No, they haven't.
Oh, never mind, they haven't. Wait, what?
Only to like select partners and,
yeah.
and big retailers, because I ordered one day one and I got a nice email saying I'd see it sometime in next year.
Why does it take so long to put these things out there? I mean, all I see is a little white square.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty big white square compared to the little square.
True. But yeah, the original square is fairly small. This is...
So they did release them out to, I think, you know, people who are using them in higher volume, like retail areas, but the rest of us, you know, that just have small businesses. Yeah, we have to wait.
Aren't they $50?
Yep.
Yes, but after your first 3 transactions, they credit you back that money.
Yeah.
Do they have to equal $50 or something? Or it's
no,
just after
just
you,
through no, transactions.
They just want you to use it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, it's really cool. So it's you have the little contactless, you have the Donkeycon, or what do we call it, the Wi-Fi egg?
The Wi-Fi egg is what you
the
call
Wi-Fi
it.
Egg.
It's got the Wi-Fi egg on there, and so you can donk your watch or whatever, or phone. And then it also has a little slot at the top. If you don't donk, you can use your chip cards. Your chip card. Now, okay, so I want to, Adam or Jeff, do you guys understand if it truly is more secure and in what way it is to use the chip cards?
No.
In the United States, there is no security benefit to using a chip. And that's because we use chip and sign, not chip and PIN. That makes it absolutely no different from swipe and sign.
Well, what about privacy-wise for between you and the retailer? Is there still personally identifiable information being exchanged there where they can keep
that
giving you coupons and that sort of thing?
I would assume
I'm not sure.
Same.
I really got to talk to Dave. Got to get Dave on here to talk because he knows all about that stuff, right?
Yes.
Well, or we could get like somebody like George Starcher.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to do that at some point. Yeah, because I'm getting a chip card from Simple soon, and I suppose I'll just use the chip part when I'm at a place that doesn't support my Apple Pay.
Yeah. The way it'll work is if you go into a place that doesn't support Apple Pay, and they have a card reader that supports the chip, if you swipe your card, you should get an error on the terminal that says this is a chip card. So then you have to slide the chip into the little slot.
Oh, I'm required to use the... I guess it makes sense because the liability is on the store at that point.
It's a liability shift thing that they're doing. But I mean, as far as security goes, I don't know that it's any more...
It offers us no more security than we had with a swipe.
What about manufacturing? Like, is it harder to create a card with a chip? Like,
no, people
costly,
have been doing that for a while.
More costly, but it's more costly than I would imagine just the magstripe cards.
It probably is.
So, I mean, maybe there's a slight financial disincentive to... I'm just thinking about, because I mean, traditionally the way this stuff happens, right, is you get your card skimmed and then they make like fake cards, right? And then they go use those.
Right.
I mean, that's the main security risk other than online fraud. But I mean, in terms of physical, like someone walking into a store and using your card, they either steal the card directly, right, out of the mail, or they skim it. It gets skimmed somewhere, like at the gas station, you know, they put up a reader and they skim a bunch of cards and then they create a bunch of blanks and then go out and use them, right?
Right.
Good times.
And from what I understand, it is not significantly more difficult to skim a chip in the United States.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
Again, because it's not tied to a pin.
Because you can sign for it. Well, I mean, at certain places, like Target, so if you get the Target Red Card, which is it's their card and you only use it at Target, for example, that is a chip card. There is no magnetic stripe on it.
Right.
So, and I believe it requires you to use your PIN. So I think that you can, the issuer can configure it to certain things. So if they don't want you to use a signature, then they can configure that, but you're not going to see that on any major cards because they need that option if you're going to a restaurant or something like that.
Right.
So Facebook announced an SDK for tvOS so that you can use Facebook login style stuff on your Apple TV, which, yeah.
Can you hear the excitement in my voice?
I know.
I'm sure for some people this is going to be a great thing. But
I guess.
You know, all the services that say log in with your Facebook ID. And yes, I get why this ought to be more secure because Facebook has already created the whole secure login system and you're not supposed to really be handing over any personal information with your login to whoever's using it. I just really have a problem with this because I don't like having the same password for everything and knowing that if my Facebook password gets hacked, then every single service that's using my Facebook ID is now hacked.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's the primary reason why I don't like that.
Do you really want Facebook being the keeper of the keys?
No.
No, I really don't.
That's the
I don't
other
want Twitter
reason
being the
like
keeper
it.
Of the keys either.
Right. Or Google.
Or Google, yeah.
What about Apple?
Apple, I am leery of Apple because I think I would be foolish not to be. However, Apple has taken steps, many steps, to convince us that they are not actually keeping our stuff. they're not harvesting our stuff.
Right.
So I'm more trusting of Apple in this case.
Yeah.
But I still like the idea of having unique logins for every single service that I use.
I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, but people have to think the difference is at least currently Apple doesn't really profit. I guess the one exception might be iAds, but they're not profiting from consumer data and consumer, you know, tracking consumer behavior and things like that. And Google, Facebook, Twitter, all of those companies do. So they have a vested interest to make sure that that information is available to them and they can use it for various purposes.
Yeah. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
And yes, I totally get that that I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook and I use Google services. So I'm being harvested like crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to be harved.
Sorry to backtrack a little bit, but I do want to go back because I had read something. I was looking to find the backup information. So on the chip and pin thing, Reuters had run a story. When was this from? This was like last week or at the end of October, that some retailers are actually pushing to do the chip and pin, probably for the same reason that we were talking about, where you know the fraud liability shift happens to the retailer. So they're saying that Target and Walmart are planning on moving ahead with chip and pin rollouts.
Hmm. Okay, I'm fine with that.
In their stores. So hopefully that'll be enough pressure to kind of push more of this forward.
But yeah.
I mean, that's where it has to come from. It has to come from retailers.
It's going
to
take a long-ass time, though. Because, I mean, restaurants...
This country has been so resistant to credit card security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's essentially no security to a credit card.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I use my Apple Pay as much as possible.
As do I.
Yeah. It was really funny. So I was at Trader Joe's the other day. And I chose poorly in terms of lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, this line looks way shorter than all the other ones. And it's because it was a combo slow checker with a slow lady who was just visiting and all this. And so I was about to go out of line to get, like hummus or something. Cause I forgot hummus. And my lady was just like, no, you stay here. I'll go get the hummus. And so I'm sitting there thinking like, she's not back yet. She's almost done with the checkout. And then I realize, oh, wait, the lady has placed her credit card in the chip thing backwards. And so I would probably point it out. But since I'm waiting for someone to return with hummus, I'm thinking, Let's just ride it out because this is buying me some time and I get to watch the hilarity ensue. And at some point she's like, okay, it's such and such dollars. And the old lady is just sitting there like looking at her, like waiting for it to be finished. And they're like, oh yeah, it's not working. I don't know. And she's, oh, I don't know why. And she pulls it out. She starts rifling through her purse for some other cards. She's like, I don't know. I don't have other cards. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you know, still waiting because no hummus yet. And, cause otherwise I would have been like, oh, you just need to flip it around. So it, I mean, by the time Madeline returned, it was, you know, she figured out finally like, oh yeah, I think I had it in the wrong direction. And so checked out. And then, you know, every time I'm behind someone in line with a chip card, it seems like it takes forever. And then I use my Apple Pay and it takes 3 seconds.
Okay. Can I just ask something?
Yeah.
What engineer decided that the chip couldn't just be like right in the middle? Because doesn't it suck the whole card in or is it just the end of it?
It's just the end of the card.
Oh, that's why.
So yeah, it's funny. I don't know. It's like, when I do get my chip card, I'm going to be, I feel like it's going to be a giant pain in the ass, but it can't be, right? I think it's just people who, every time I'm in line, I'm behind someone who's never done it before, I think.
Yeah, I'm finding people are completely brain dead when it comes to using the chip. I mean, they.
Well,
they
it's just, a new. It's a new thing. I
it's
mean,
it's a new thing.
To
yes.
be fair, it's going to take a while for people to get used to
like,
the new
I put
system.
It. I put it this way in mouth. Yes,
but couldn't we have solved this? Like we've been able to get our connectors to be totally reversible, right? We have lightning connectors and reversible USB connectors mm-hmm. coming now. Like, shouldn't somebody yeah. have thought about this like dilemma?
No,
been like,
no.
Let's
don't,
make
don't
the
think
chip card so they're totally reversible.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what direction you stick it in. If it fits in the slot, it gets read.
No, brains don't work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would think we'd have the engineering talent in 2015 too.
You know what they could do instead of making the chip just there in the corner? Why not do the chip in the corner? Because I'm assuming there's a reason why it needs to be configured in that way. But then have like a little band that runs all the way around, sort of like a little antenna. So it doesn't matter where it goes into the reader.
Right.
That little antenna acts as the go to
like a contact, just a contact point all the way around.
Well, do you guys? So you guys probably saw the story about Apple thinking about they want to replace the headset jack.
Oh God, please!
Now, so, this discussion has come up for previous iPhones as well.
It has come up. I think it came up last year. So this is from Maka Takara, and they have a fairly decent track record with these rumors.
I still have one of the adapters from my original iPhone. I'm going to point that out right now.
Oh, good times.
You know what? You should, Adam, send that to Tim Cook's mailing address. Just send that and with a note that says, remember this? And a frowny, right. maybe
remember
like draw
when,
a frowny
it was
face.
Curved and you had like certain headphone jacks would and, not fit.
Like, remember this. Don't make the same mistake.
And, yeah.
Don't make the same mistake, Tim.
Because that's all that's going to happen.
Yeah. So the idea is they're gonna ditch the 3.5 mil headphone jack and just have a lightning connector and say, hey, no, it's fine. We have the lightning connector. You can totally plug in your EarPods, and if you want to plug in some other sort of headphones, which nobody wants to do, but you can get an adapter. It's
but
cool.
What if you want to charge and listen at the same time?
Yeah. You have to make a choice.
I would prefer, I mean, if that's a thing
for
them.
Or you buy the $40 adapter that lets you charge and listen at the same time.
Honestly, if that's the route they want to go, I would prefer they just remove the headphone jack completely and just do what Apple does and say, look, the headphone jack is dead. You buy a set of USB or Bluetooth headphones.
It's not dead, though.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but that would be a more preferable. Like, if their issue is we don't want to do the headphone jack anymore because we want to make our things thinner or whatever the reason is, then just do the gutsy Apple thing and just say, look, we think this is something you don't need anymore because there's Bluetooth headphones and you can go wireless and wireless is better.
I mean,
and make that case. I don't
what
think
it's
they should.
Worth.
I'm not saying they should do that. I'm saying, though, that would be the more Apple way of handling this than inventing. Well, I guess inventing some new connector would, too, but it's another connector, so why not just eliminate the connector?
For what it's worth, I very rarely use wired headphones anymore.
Yeah.
I do use Bluetooth pretty much all the time, but I do have a pair of Shure SE215s that I keep in my bag because I know that when my Bluetooth headphones die, I always have those, and those always work, and they sound really good.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you.
My question is for this decision, if they're truly considering this, what the hell benefit is this giving to anybody but Apple? Maybe Apple. I mean,
they
if
can sell more dongles.
They can sell more dongles. Well, yeah, but they can also
sell less iPhones because we're all pissed and we're just going to get freaking flip phones that don't do anything anymore because we're done.
Now, people will still buy them, but Apple would include a Bluetooth headset with iPhones.
No, they're going to, if at the most, they're going to give you EarPods that have a lightning connector. Bluetooth
would
be cool.
But they're going to give you something that you can plug into your iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the most part, most people don't. They
so
just use
here's
the earbuds.
A set
right?
of cruddy headphones that you, or earbuds you don't want to use, and there you go.
I mean, okay, so the EarPods sound really good. I, however, have ears that don't like earbuds that much.
See, I can wear earbuds, but nothing that Apple makes.
Yeah, whatever earbuds that Apple makes, they don't work. So I have like the Jaybirds work well, the Plantronics. A lot of the, it has to be in ear. I have to be able to squish it in my ear. Earbuds don't like my ears. So maybe if it was in ear, I'd be happy about it.
My vote is either leave the jack alone or get rid of it completely. Don't do some weird middle.
Yes,
well, and the weird thing about it is, I mean, it's not that weird, but the thinness, the level of thickness that they're talking about the iPhone acquiring due to this change is basically exactly what the iPod Touch is at currently.
Yeah.
And the iPod Touch still has a headphone jack.
Yeah, I'm looking at my iPhone right now, and it seems like there's space. I guess maybe some of that interior space is the display, though. Does it need to be anything? Like, do we really need thinner
phones?
No, please,
it's
fine. My phone is perfectly fine as thin as it is. I think the thinness race can be over now.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't know better, I would say that these people who are obsessing over making it thinner need to obsess over making the OS work better.
There you go.
But I know that those people are different people for the most part, I would say.
Right.
But still, for goodness sakes, please just make your stuff work. We don't need it thinner. Thank you.
Yeah.
And leave our headphone jack alone.
Please just...
And give me a better battery.
Don't take it away from me, please. Thank you. Yeah. You know what? Still to this day, your iPhone 6S, right? It has the protruding camera.
Yep.
Yeah. But it'd be fine if it was a little bit thicker. More battery, please. Okay. So let's see here. Headphone jack. Oh, do you guys see the Apple Pencil being used as a scale?
I did not, but I heard about it.
Yeah, you can use it as a scale. Someone made using Swift. They used Swift tools to make a little scale. You had to make a little cardboard stand thingy for it. But I guess the force sensor, if you multiply by 140, gives you grams.
I was more interested in adding the one. It might be the same guy that added the 3D touch.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Using the pencil.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't think that's the same guy.
Yeah. So you use some private APIs.
Oh, he is the same guy. I think he is the same guy.
Private APIs so that you could activate 3D touch in iOS on an iPad Pro using a pencil.
Yeah, it's really cool. And he made a synthesizer with it. And some kind of photo editing or an experimental image processing app that uses the pencil as a controller for setting things. It's cool. It's nice that stuff is available.
Well, what's interesting to me about it is, I don't think like for the stuff we see 3D touch with on an iPhone right now. So say some of the peek and pop stuff that you see within the Springboard, when clicking on an icon or stuff like that, because I don't think people want to run around with their Apple Pencil having to have that be the input device. But if Apple would open that up for some of the applications, so application UI elements could be interesting. So if I'm in Paper or if I'm in Adobe Sketch, when I'm clicking on a tool, if I could 3D peek and pop using the pencil, some of those tools and get additional options or quicker access to certain functions. So, I'm pressing on a color palette or something like that, and then I could peek in and maybe get a complementary set of palettes that would automatically pop up, related to that, and then select from those. There could be some cool applications there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it holds promise that maybe Apple can at least do that, open up some APIs at some point in the future to some applications to use the force features on the pencil to do various things.
It'll be interesting to see if Apple really does that, though.
I don't think they will.
They've already been talking about how the Apple Pencil is not a replacement for a pointing device.
Right.
So they could artificially hobble its capabilities.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though, is I've already found that when I have my Apple Pencil with me, and this may be somewhat predicated by the fact that there's no place for me to, like, dock it or put it away. If I have it on me, I usually have it in my hand, and I've started to use it as a, like, pointing device just out of convenience, because it's like, I already have it in my hand. I can swipe through articles with it. I can tap on email stuff with it. I will use it as my pointing device.
That's interesting. I'm finding I am not doing that. I mean, it'll be in my hand. So what I'll do is I'll kind of spin it so that it's sticking up between my fingers, and then I can use my fingertips for navigation.
Yeah, I do that too. It may be an eyesight thing though too, because I'm getting older, and I have, you know, especially when I have it in the keyboard mode, I have it pushed back a little bit further, and it's almost like having a really long finger, so I can like
that makes sense
forward with the pencil and reach the screen without having to reach really far forward with my hand, and it's just more comfortable. So, I don't know. It's a weird behavior that just happened sort of organically or naturally. And I've caught myself doing it a couple times, and I'm like, okay, this is a little weird, but I understand sort of why I'm doing it now. But it wasn't some behavior I was expecting when I got the iPad Pro.
All right, I'm going to watch closer and see if I start doing the same thing now that I have the smart keyboard.
Yeah.
So, picks?
Sure.
Picks.
Jeff, go. Do it.
Okay. I have a new set of headphones, over-the-ear headphones, that I've been testing, and I'm actually really liking them a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're from PAW, which is P-A-W-W, and it's the Wavesound 2. It's a Bluetooth headset over the ears, and it has a built-in mic. So if you want to pair these with your iPhone, you can do calls.
Ooh.
With them, which is nice.
Oh, these are crazy looking.
And yeah, it has two modes. So you have the regular Bluetooth mode, and then you have the noise canceling mode. It also has a headphone jack, so you can plug in the cable and use them wired instead of wirelessly. And so what I did was I paired these to my Apple TV. So anyone that has seen the little how-to video I did at Mac Observer on pairing headphones with your Apple TV, I use the Wavesound 2s for that. And it's really cool because I tend to wear headphones a lot when I'm watching TV, because I'm in a smaller space, you know, and the apartments around me are pretty close, and I don't want to disturb my neighbors.
And you have to have lasers. Lasers have to be very loud.
So. Right. So I tend to have earbuds in, which means that I'm wired directly to my television. And that's fine, but it's a first world problem and it's kind of annoying. And I'm just loving that with these, I have really good audio.
Yeah.
And no wires. So, you know, I just fire up the headphones and put them on and watch whatever I want, and it's great.
Cool.
And I do like the sound on these. I wouldn't use them for recording shows because the audio is clearly massaged so that it's better for music and movies. Mm. And it would make recording podcasts sound really weird to me.
Gotcha.
But for entertainment stuff, which is what these are designed for, I think they're really nice.
Probably. Are they good for like running?
You could run with them if you want.
I guess you'd look fun. You look funny. Giant.
Yeah. You'd look kind of like you jumped out of the 70s.
Yeah, but that's fun. That's a good look.
That's a good look, sure. I'm not going to run with these. I would rather run with Bluetooth earbuds that are designed for sport and athletic activities, because they'll be lighter weight and sweat resistant. And if it starts to rain a little bit, I don't have to worry that my headphones are going to short out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always good to not have to worry about. Okay, Adam.
Hey, so I want to start off updating people on a pick that I made a while back. I have a pair of Monoprice Bluetooth headphones. Yeah. They're called the Bluetooth on-ear headphones with built-in microphone. They're on sale again right now for $29.99.
Ooh, that's so a much better price than the WaveSound 2. But
they fluctuate between $30 and about $50 or $45. So they're at a good price right now. But I want to let people know that while I really like them and I think they're a good deal, I did have an issue with my pair in terms of the quality. So they started to develop cracks at the point where they fold. And also the little covers that sort of extend down to cover the wires when you expand the headphones, you know, to adjust the size, they cracked at that point too. Now, I tend to sleep in mine, so I don't know if that led to part of the issues that I had, but I did have that problem. So that's the bad thing. So the good thing is, though, they carry a 2-year warranty, and Monoprice was freaking awesome about doing an RMA. So I contacted their support. I sent them a couple pictures, told them what happened. They said, yep, that's a defect. And here, we'll send you a shipping label, send them back in. And they sent them back. And it was like overnight both ways. So within like 3 days, I had a brand new set of these headphones. That's and I'm going to be a little bit more delicate with them now and see if they hold up a little bit better. But I just wanted to warn people on that. If you did pick these up, they may have a defect. But if you encounter a problem, Monoprice is great at handling it. So,
what are they called?
They're called the Bluetooth on-ear headphones with built-in microphone white. So if you go to Monoprice and you do categories, they're under audio, video, Bluetooth headphones.
Bluetooth.
And you might have to go under the plus symbol if it's like the last.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Which color did you get?
I just got the white ones, but they come in white, black, green, blue, and yellow. And they're all $29.99 right now.
Yeah.
That's a nice price.
I really like them. If you have another thing that I read in the reviews, some people don't like how tight they are. I felt they were kind of similar to the Beats headphones when I tried them on in the Apple store. But just, you know, I guess if you have a large head, maybe they might be a little bit tight because they just kind of, you know, they go and they're on ear, not over the ear. So if you don't like that style either. Again, just like the Beats. They're very similar to the Beats. I call them Beats knockoffs.
Yeah, they are. They are. But that's cool about the warranty.
Some people don't like, you know, the buttons, but I've had other inexpensive Bluetooth headphones, and the Bluetooth controls are never all that great. These are fine. They work most of the time. I paired them, for example, last night with my Apple TV, and I wanted to get up and go to the kitchen. I can, you know, press on the side of the headphone. It paused my movie. I went and got, you know, a snack.
Yeah, that's nice.
Tapped it, it started the movie back up again. So
I'm almost thinking
that's cool.
I'm almost thinking about getting a pair of these. Just like I already have like 3 or 4 pairs of Bluetooth headphones, but I'm thinking about getting a pair of these just to have something that's always on the Apple TV.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to update everybody on that. That's not my pick.
Oh.
So my pick is actually courtesy of Georgia Dow over at iMore. I actually listened to, they do a gaming podcast. And I saw this app on the App Store, and I was a little leery about it. It's called Snap-a-moles. It's a game. And I guess if anybody had ever played, there was a game, I was never into Pokemon, but there was a game called like Pokemon Snap or something like that, where you ran around and you took pictures of Pokemon, and you tried to get like the best pictures of your Pokemon. It's just like that, but with animals. So you're a photographer, and you're trying to build a museum of animal photos. And so it's somewhat like a first-person shooter, but you're going through with a camera through different environments trying to snap specific pictures of little animals. And it's got a great, like, 3D cartoony animal aesthetic to it. And you're trying to earn
like
money and sell your photos. What?
I like the art.
I can't find it. Where is it?
Their website is is Bobop B B O B. Let's see, B E B O P B E E. So Bobop. Bebo B.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Man, yeah, that's, I'm not finding that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, so it's Snapimals, and then so what happens is you set up this little museum. So there's a little kind of resource management kind of stuff that goes on with it. You're setting up this museum. You're trying to upgrade your museum so that you can go to more remote locations and get different kinds of animals. You're going to set up museums on multiple little islands. So there's like one that's going to be like the savannah, and then there's a frozen world, and you're working your way up, I think, to like a dino world where you can take pictures of dinosaurs. But then what happens is different people come to visit your museum, and then you'll start getting requests of like, oh, I want this kind of shot of this animal. Will you get that for me? And if you do, then you get bonuses and you get more fame and you get more rewards and things like that. So there's a bunch of rewards. It's free. There is in-app purchase that you can do to kind of speed things up. One of the slowing mechanisms is you only get a certain number of rolls of film. And if you run out of film, you've got to wait a timed period before you can go take more pictures. Some people, that really annoys them. For me, I kind of like it because it means this is one of those apps where I'll spend a couple minutes playing around with it and then just put it away and then come back to it at another time to kind of play around with it. So it didn't feel egregious to me on like the in-app purchases. It's like not in your face. It's just more that sort of speed up sort of thing. That said, I always do wish that, you know, I would maybe have rather just paid $5 up front and then not gone that way, but I know where that ship has sailed a long time ago. So this is kind of the new app model, and I'm okay playing around with it. It's been a lot of fun. I've just been messing around with it the last couple of days over the holidays, and it's great for, I think it'd be great for kids. They'd have a lot of fun with it. You earn like little things to, like toys to throw out to entice the animals to come closer, so you get a better shot, or they're more playful, or look better in the shots, and it's just fun. And it's free. So, Snapimals.
Neat. So, it's Bebop B.
Bebop B.
Bebop B. Inc. Okay, whatever. So, my pick this week is something you can get from Amazon. I finally got a thing for my watch. It's a third-party lug. So you can use it to throw on pretty much any old watch band onto your Apple Watch, which is very nice. And I'm sure, like most people who got the Space Gray, is it Space Gray or Space Black?
Space Gray. Wait, no.
The Sport, right?
The Sport.
The Sport.
Sport is Space Gray.
Yeah, and the aluminum is Space Black.
Yep.
You mean the steel is Space Black?
Steel is
Space
Black. Yes.
Yeah. So, like most people who have the Space Gray, they're probably I'm very much regretting having a black case because it means that pretty much everything that's made for the Apple Watch doesn't match. But you can get on Amazon. So it's Love It, LUVVITT. They seem to be the most highly rated lugs on Amazon, and you can get them in a myriad of colors and sizes. So they have a 42 millimeter Space Gray version, and it so I bought that, and I have it on my watch right now, and the color matches very well. And, yeah, I also got a standard leather, whatchamacall, loop band. There we go. Words. yeah, I got a leather band, just a random thing on Amazon to go with it, and it works great. So they come with, their own little pentalobe screws and a screwdriver, pentalobe screwdriver. So you don't have to worry about getting the tools for that. So all you have to do is take two screws out, take the little bar off, and slip the bar into the band that you want, put it back on, and you're good to go. You made your own little Apple Watch band for probably at least half the price of buying an Apple branded band, if not more. The only thing I would caution people about is that if you have the 42 millimeter Apple Watch, the case is pretty big compared to most bands. What most bands are sized for. So, what would you say? Do either of you know what the width of the bands are typically on the Apple Watch, like from Apple? I feel like it's probably around like 30 millimeters, something like that.
Hold on. We're about to do a measurement right here.
I don't know.
You have a caliper?
No, but I have my point sizer for type.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny because I realize that I'm about to give you a measurement in points. So you have to do the conversion.
Oh, God.
No, it's all right. Just have Siri do it for you. Okay, so I have a 38 millimeter watch, and the band is just shy of 5 picas. You didn't want me to measure in picas. Let's switch over to points. Sorry about that.
What the hell is a pica?
Just have Siri do the measurement.
21.17 millimeters.
Okay, so...
So this band that I have is probably... like perfect for a 38 mil watch. On mine, it looks a little bit small. I've been told that it looks totally normal, but I think it looks a little small. So, I don't know. If you look on Apple's sizing guides, I think it tells you what those widths are. But yeah, all in all, check it out. The Love It stainless steel adapter. I think they're all stainless steel.
Yeah. We've been having a long-standing debate back and forth on the MacCast about metals and mixing metals and corrosion and concerns over is this a problem or not?
Interesting.
And the results have been somewhat inconclusive because I've got experts telling me two things. So there is actually a problem or a potential problem when you mix two different metals together.
Yeah.
A process called galvanic corrosion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That can happen, especially when you introduce some sort of, liquid, saline liquid, say like sweat.
Yeah. Something that has free electrolytes.
Yeah. But I think what it comes down to is... most people are telling me stainless steel is the best probably metal to reduce the odds of it happening, but it's not going to prevent it from happening. It's just a matter of how long will it take before you start to see corrosion. And what I'm hearing is in this case, you're probably going to get a new watch before any corrosion would set in.
Hmm.
In normal conditions and normal usage.
Yeah, and I would say you're probably even better off with aluminum because of the it reacts very quickly in air, and you get a nice protective layer on it.
Well, I think Apple's official lugs are stainless steel too, right?
Oh, are they?
I want to say, hold on, I can find them online.
I'm guessing that you're probably not going to have any sort of reaction between stainless steel and stainless steel or stainless and aluminum. So I should ask about that. I'll ask a professor next time I'm there because I'm taking a materials course right now. So he would.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you can buy the lug body Apple is selling is also stainless steel. So the official Apple ones are stainless steel as well. It's just we don't know what kind of stainless steel.
Yeah, what there alloy it is.
There are different grades and different...
Yeah, there are different, tons of different alloys for stainless.
But again, it comes back to the debate we've been having back and forth, and I've heard from a lot of people on this, is it probably at the end of the day does not matter for most people. You're not going to have a problem. So.
Yeah. Try to make a galvanic cell with your watch. I don't think you can.
It was just something, I mean, it was something I was trying to figure out, like, why would you want to hold off for Apple's official ones and official bands versus go with the ones that are on the market now? And that was the only thing I could think of is, I have heard, too, that in some cases, some of the lugs don't slide in and out as well or as nicely as Apple's. So there's some concern that you might get a lug stuck in there, not be able to get it out.
Yeah.
Which would be a problem.
These have pretty high ratings, and so far I'm pretty happy with mine.
Yeah. And so cool. It fits well, and you have no problems sliding it in and out.
Yeah, so far.
Cool.
Yep, so $15. Pretty decent price.
Deal.
And it's on Prime, so that means that you can complain and get.
And that's for a pair?
Yes.
Because Apple's are about $13 a set. Or $11 a set, but you have to buy a minimum of 25 sets.
Right, but the big thing here is that you can actually get a color that matches your watch.
Right.
Yeah. With theirs, you can only get the silver stainless, right?
Well, yeah, and again, you got to buy $300 worth of them.
Yeah, there's also that.
You can't just buy one.
Maybe we could do an iOS show pool.
Apple should just sell these in their retail store. They should sell the set.
I find it
for like $20.
It would be nice if they did.
I but find they it won't.
Annoying that they don't.
One of these days. I doubt it though. Okay. So with that, you can find the iPhone picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes or rate the show. And tell a friend if you know somebody who would enjoy the show. Let them know. Feedback is at feedback@theiosshow.com. That's the email address to which you can send your questions and comments and feedback and all that stuff. We also have the show notes where you can leave comments, which is nice. And, of course, our sponsor this week is Yamaha with the AG03 and AG06 mixers. Check that out at yamaha.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at jgamet on Twitter.
And it's a blast every single week.
Every single week. And yep. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet and an internet table. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.